Okay, alhamdulillah, bismillah, walhamdulillah, as-salatu was-salam ala rasulillah wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. Assalamu alaikum, everyone. Welcome back to our weekly conversation of soul food. I hope everyone is doing well. Sorry, I'm situating my Instagram camera real quick for you guys. Okay, alhamdulillah. Okay, so everybody should be able to see me, hear me, audio, visual, everything should be good, inshallah. I hope everyone is being able to hear, comprehend everything well. So for those of you who are on Instagram, just kind of like an update, Facebook is going to be kind of like our follow along type of format where we have the screen share available where you'll be able to see the verses that we're going through. But obviously, if you're in your car or in your moments where you can't actually see something, then obviously Instagram is more than good, alhamdulillah, to follow along. So for those of us who are on Facebook and also those who are on Instagram, we are going through now the next chapter of Surah Al-Qasas. Surah Al-Qasas, obviously, is the 28th chapter in the Quran, majority of which is highlighting the life of one Prophet Musa. And Prophet Musa, alayhi salam, obviously, we discussed before that, you know, he went through already a tremendous amount of difficulty in his life, right? And he went through the, you know, even before he was cognitively aware, he went through the trials of being floated down a river. Then he went through the trial of being picked up by the same person who was, at the end of the day, going to try to kill him because of a prophecy he was afraid of. And then he was raised in that kind of household. And then he accidentally, to break up a fight, he accidentally killed somebody, and therefore he ran away to a different area, to a different land called Madian. And then he helped these two young women out in terms of watering their flocks for them. And then he makes this dua, Rabbi inni lima anzalta ilayya min khayrin faqir. And then they invite him to their father's house, who also ends up being a prophet of God. His name is Prophet Shu'aib alayhi salam. And at that point, Prophet Shu'aib is so impressed with the overall decency and morality and genuine nature of Prophet Musa that he not only offers him a job in reward, but he also says that one of his daughters is interested in marrying him. And again, you know, one of the things that we have talked about extensively over the past couple of weeks is the idea of the sincerity aspect of when a person does something. That when you do something very sincerely, the reward ultimately lies with Allah, right? فَلَهُمْ أَجْرٌ غَيْرُ مَمْنُونَ. That your reward is everlasting. It doesn't end, okay? And so Prophet Musa alayhi salam was a direct recipient of that reward, of that principle. That if you do things sincerely and you do things without seeking a reward immediately with anybody in this life, then Allah will reward you greatly. And you know, most of us have our hopes in the hereafter, but sometimes Allah might actually fast forward that reward and give you something in this life as well. And so he gives Prophet Musa alayhi salam stability, right? Going from a fugitive with no family, no money, he goes to having a job for 8 to 10 years and also getting married to somebody that deeply appreciates him, and he ends up appreciating her as he gets to know her. And so now at this point of Prophet Musa's life in verse 29, for those of you who are on Facebook, you can follow along, is that Prophet Musa alayhi salam now, he goes through this emotion where he's lived a majority of his life now, or a big part of his life now, in being a fugitive or leaving his hometown or being away from Egypt where he was raised. And so he has this kind of, you know, tendency, this human nature of wanting to go back, of wanting to go back. And this is the same thing with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This was the same thing, you know, with other prophets of God, Prophet Yusuf alaihi salam, where they actually wanted to end up going back to where they originated from. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam obviously ended up living in Medina for the rest of his life, but he also wanted to go back and be in the same place that he was born and raised, right? Mecca was still a home to him. You know, and it was painful being away from that for so long. And even those of you who know, you know, if you've moved away from, you know, your home at an early age or even, you know, later on in your life, there's still this kind of really heart-tugging feeling that you get when you land back in your hometown, right? Even if, like, you know, mashallah, you've established a life somewhere else, you got married, you got a job, you're going to school somewhere else, and a lot of the good, you know, experiences that you had in your life came from that new place, there's still this feeling of home that you miss. There's still this feeling of home that you yearn for. And Prophet Musa alayhi salam was yearning for that feeling of home, because that's where his mom is. That's where his mother is. Home is where the heart is, right? And so Prophet Musa alayhi salam, he tells his family now, the woman that he got married to, one of the daughters of Prophet Shu'aib alayhi salam, he gathers his family and he says, we're going to go travel. We're going to go travel, all right? And they gather their things and they start traveling and they cross this desert called the Sinai Desert, all right? They cross the Sinai Desert. And at this point, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says in the Quran, he says, فَلَمَّا قَضَى مُوسَى الْأَجَلَ, right, وَسَارَ بِأَهْلِهِ, that once Musa had fulfilled the term, or his term, and was traveling with his family, okay, he caught sight of a fire. He caught sight of a fire on the side of the mountain. Okay, it says here, min janibi. Okay, min janibi turi naran. Okay, so he saw a fire from the side of the mountain. And obviously, if you put yourself in his shoes, you know, traveling is not as easy as it is today, right? You don't just catch a flight, you knock out on the plane, right? You wake up and mashallah, you're at your destination without even feeling a pain of hunger or feeling the pain of thirst or feeling any sort of wear and tear whatsoever. Now, in the time of Prophet Musa, you're traveling through the desert. You're going through like a terrain that's difficult. Food is limited. Water is limited. And so Prophet Musa, from a far away place, he says, Allah says, min janibi turi naran. He sees a fire. He sees a fire on the side of a mountain. And this is, by the way, the mountain of Sinai, Waturi Sinin. And he sees this fire and he tells his family, he says, Qala li ahlihi, he says, umkuthu, okay, umkuthu, inni, he said, inni anastu naran la'alli. Okay, he says that, you know, sit here and wait. I have seen a fire. I saw a fire with my own eyes. I'll bring you some news from there. Like, I'm going to go there and see if there's anything for us to kind of benefit from. Maybe it's another people that are traveling, a group of folks that are going on a journey just like us. Maybe there's some food there, whatever it is. I'm going to go and check it out over there. I'm going to go check it out. All right. And by the way, the story of Prophet Musa alayhi salam is covered in much greater capacity in other surahs as well. For example, Surah Al-A'raf covers the meeting of Allah and Prophet Musa. Surah Al-Taha, which we're going to kind of reference here in a second, also covers a little bit of the story of Prophet Musa and Allah, okay? Another surah that covers it is Surah Al-Shu'ara. Shu'ara also covers kind of like the later half of Prophet Musa's life. And so at this point here, Prophet Musa, he's going towards this mountain, right? This Mount of Sinai, Turi Sinin. And he goes up there and he's looking for where the source of this fire is. What is it, right? What could it possibly be? And when he gets up there, it says, Falamma ataha nudiya. Falamma ataha nudiya. It says here, but when he reached it, a voice called out to him. A voice called out to Prophet Musa alayhi salam. Okay. And now Prophet Musa alayhi salam is a little bit afraid. He goes, well, okay, this voice is very intimidating. And you know, I'll give you guys a short reference here. It said here that Prophet Musa alayhi salam, it proves that he was one of the prophets that was in the presence of God himself, right? Prophet Musa alayhi salam was one of the prophets who had the honor of being in the presence of Allah himself. So the natural question is, what did Allah look like, right? What was it? What was it like to be in the presence of God? A lot of us sitting here in our day and age, you know, a big thing that would resolve a lot of the crises of faith that people have, a lot of the things that would be solved by the issues that people have in faith and the lack thereof would be solved if you could just see God, right? If God really is there, then why can't we see him, okay? So he says that he's in the presence of Prophet Musa. So what is the situation when he's with Prophet Musa alayhi salam, right? What is Allah, what does he look like? What is he doing there, right? One of the examples I want to give here is when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he was going on this journey called Isra wal Mi'raj. Everyone has heard of this journey before, right? The miraculous journey that the Prophet took to go to the heavens, right? To go and see the heavens. And he went up and up and up through layers and stages and in pieces of heaven. And he sees prophets of old. He sees Prophet Musa. He sees Prophet Isa. He sees Prophet Yusuf. He sees Harun. He sees Ibrahim. He sees Adam. He sees all these prophets, and he finally goes up to this area where Jibreel alayhi salam, the angel, the archangel Gabriel, he tells the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he says, Ya Rasulullah, I can go no further. I can go no further than this. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam gets kind of taken aback because, you know, Jibreel alayhi salam is almost like that friend role to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, right? He's like an older brother, like a protector. He goes, Jibreel, you got to come with me, right? Like, what am I going to do by myself? Jibreel goes, if we, the angels, are going any further than this, then the moment we go further to this level that we are not allowed to go into, we would disintegrate into nothing. We would disintegrate into nothing, Jibreel alayhi salam says. And he's the greatest of the angels, okay? And when the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam went to the heavens and he was in the presence of Allah, and Allah gave him the ordinance of prayer, of good deeds, of, you know, how the scales are weighed in terms of good versus bad deeds. A lot of the companions, when the Prophet came back, they said, Ya Rasulullah, what did Allah look like? This is like a very fascinating question. What did Allah look like? What was it like to be in the presence of Allah? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he tells his companions, he says, you know, my dear friends, my companions, how could I glance upon Allah himself? There's a narration that says that when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam neared the presence of Allah, he immediately fell into sajda. So his eyes could not gaze upon Allah. He fell into sujood in front of Allah that his eyes would not be allowed to look at Allah directly. He was in a state of prostration the entire time he was talking to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And there's a narration here from Surah Al-A'raf of the same thing of Prophet Musa. When Prophet Musa alayhi salam was in the presence of Allah in this case right here, it says that the intensity was so high, you know, waturi sinin, when he was on top of this mountain, the intensity was so high that Allah called him towards a tree. Okay, it says a tree right here in this verse right here. You can see my mouse, I'm pointing it right here. It says, Mubarakati min shajarati. Okay, min shajarati means from a tree on a blessed ground. Okay. It says here, fil buq'ati mubarakati min shajarati. That it was a blessed ground and there was a tree there. So we know the descriptions of what it looked like when Prophet Musa saw Allah is that there was a tree, there was a fire, and you know, Allah was just, it was like a light, okay? And from this light, Prophet Musa alayhi salam, Surah Al-A'raf, it says that Prophet Musa passed out. He fainted. He fell unconscious because of the greatness of Allah's presence. That Musa alayhi salam himself, he went completely unconscious. And then when he woke again, he woke up, he heard a voice that said, Ya Musa, inni anallahu rabbul alameen. Okay, it says here in Surah Al-Qasas, ayah 30, it says, inni anallahu rabbul alameen. Ya Musa, I am God. He says, inni anallah, I am Allah, rabbul alameen, the Lord of the worlds, the Lord of all the worlds. Okay. And in Surah Al-Taha, Allah also expands on this. He actually says, He says, Innani ana Allah la ilaha illa ana fa'budni wa aqim as-salata li dhikri. Right? Indeed, I am Allah, and you know, there is no God except me. Fa'budni wa aqim as-salata li dhikri. Okay? So, worship me, fa'budni wa aqim as-salata li dhikri. And establish prayer, pray to Allah so you can remember Him. Li dhikri. That's one of the first orders that Allah gives Prophet Musa alayhi salam. It's incredible. You know, a lot of us sometimes we try to kind of downplay this idea of salah, right? Oh, salah, if I miss a salah, it's whatever. If I miss Fajr, it's whatever. As long as I got Ramadan, right? As long as I get like at least 3 out of 5, I'm shooting like, you know, 75%. I'm shooting 60%, right? If I got 4 out of 5, man, I'm shooting 80%. It's better than like Steph Curry's free throw jumper. Like, you know, like, we start to rationalize to ourselves like what the makeup tendency of salah is. But if we really understood the concept of salah and catching your salah, making sure you pray, why? Li dhikri, to remember Allah, we would never again question the importance of this prayer. We would never again dare to question the importance of salah. And so at this point, Allah in Surah Al-Taha, he tells Prophet Musa alayhi salam, he says, the hour is coming, okay? Though I choose to keep it hidden, Allah says that the day of judgment is coming, Ya Musa. okay? The Day of Judgment is coming, and this is in Surah Taha. The Day of Judgment is coming, but I'm keeping it a secret. I'm not going to disclose exactly when it's going to hit. For each soul is to be rewarded for its labor. Okay, each soul is to be kullu nafsin bima tas'a. Every soul will be held accountable for what it did in this life, ya Musa. All right? And he says, and Allah says in another part of Surah Taha, he says, fala yasuddannaka. He says, do not let anyone who does not believe in it and follows his own desires distract you from it. Okay, he goes, don't let this life fool you. This life is temporary. And then here, Allah Ta'ala in Surah Al-Qasas, he goes, what do you have? You know, he goes, throw down your staff, Musa. He goes, throw down your staff. Okay. He says, وَأَنْ أَلْقِيَ عَصَاكَ. He goes, throw down your staff. And Prophet Musa alayhi salam, he threw down his staff. When he saw his staff moving like a snake, he fled in fear. He got scared. He got so frightened that a staff could move like a snake that he fled. And Allah says in Surah Al-Qasas that he would not return unless I asked him to return. Right? That the miracles of Allah are so eye-opening that some people that witness them will run and will not return unless I tell them to return. Okay? And he says, Ya Musa, أَقْبِلْ وَلَا تَخَفْ. He says, Ya Musa, أَقْبِلْ وَلَا تَخَفْ. He says, draw near, come back, Ya Musa, and don't be afraid. Come back, Ya Musa, don't be afraid. إِنَّكَ مِنَ الْآمِنِينَ. إِنَّكَ مِنَ الْآمِنِينَ. You are those who are safe. Don't worry, Musa. I got you. All right? He goes, Musa, throw down your staff. His staff becomes a snake. Okay? And he gets extremely scared. And Allah asks him to come back. He says, don't worry, Musa. Innaka minal aminin. You are of those who are safe. All right? And then Allah tells Prophet Musa to do something else. Allah goes to Prophet Musa. He says, usluk yadaka fi jaybika. Okay? He goes, put your hand inside of your shirt and it will come out completely glistening white. This is another miracle of Prophet Musa's life, that he put his hand inside of his shirt, inside of his garment, and he lifted it up and it became completely white. Completely white. And he says to Prophet Musa alayhi salam, he says, فَذَانِكَ بُرْهَانَنِي مِنَ رَبِّكَ. He says that these shall be the two signs from your Lord, okay? فَذَانِكَ بُرْهَانَنِي مِنْ رَبِّكَ. That these are the two signs from your Lord that you are going to إِلَى فِرْعَوْنَ, that you're going to show Fir'aun. Okay? You're going to show Fir'aun and his chiefs these two miracles that I just showed you. All right? إِنَّهُمْ كَانُوا قَوْمًا فَاسِقِينَ. And they are truly wicked people. Those people that you used to live with were terrible people. Pharaoh, his homies, were terrible people. So what I ask you to do now, Ya Musa, is I ask you to go and pay Fir'aun a visit. It says, اذهب إلى فرعون إنه طغى. He goes, go pay Fir'aun a visit. Now, all the things that just happened, y'all, very, very, very interesting and stress-inducing situation. Prophet Musa, all he wanted to do was go check out a fire. And the fire ends up being Allah. That presence ends up being Allah. He goes, Ya Musa, innani an Allah. La ilaha illa ana fa'budni wa aqim as-salata li dhikri. Okay, I'm Allah, I'm talking to you, Musa. Musa right now is scared. He's terrified. And by the way, the same thing happened to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If you think about it, right? And this is the humanity of the prophets. The prophets of Allah had this human kind of tendency within their prophethood, that when they first were exposed to Allah directly, they got extremely scared because this is the actual magnificence that Allah has, right? You think about when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam received revelation in the Ghar Hira, in the cave of Hira, in Jabal Nur, in the mountain of light. Jibril came down and says, Iqra, Ya Rasulullah. Iqra. Prophet said, Ma ana biqari, I cannot read. Iqra, Ma ana biqari, Iqra, Ma ana biqari, I cannot read. Iqra bismi rabbika alladhi khalaq, khalaq al-insana min alaq. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was trembling and shaking. He was terrified. talking to Allah sometimes is very intimidating. Sometimes it's very intimidating. But that's just to show the prophets the magnificence of Allah. And you know another thing I want to say to everybody? I want to say to all of our listeners right now is that if this is the limited version of what Allah really is, Prophet Musa fainted. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he didn't even talk to Allah directly. He fell into sujood. And Allah had to send Jibreel to talk to him through him. But Allah continues to tell us to talk to him. فَذْكُرُونِي أَذْكُرْكُمْ وَاشْكُرُوا لِي وَلَا تَكْفُرُونَ. Just remember me and I will remember you. Talk to me. Talk to me. That's it. Don't be afraid. لا تخاف. Don't be afraid. Right? Allah is so accessible. It's one of the most beautiful points I think I've ever heard in my life from our teachers, is that these verses show us how magnificent Allah is. You will faint if you even have like a glimpse of him. He is so great that you will fall into sujood and you cannot face him directly. But us, normal people, myself, everybody else, mashallah, here at Roots, Allah tells you, just talk to me. Just talk to me. It's going to be okay. I'll take care of you, right? And so now, Prophet Musa alayhi salam, he tells Allah in Surah Al-Qasas, verse 33, he says, قَالَ رَبِّي إِنِّي He says, قَالَ رَبِّي إِنِّي قَتَلْتُ مِنْهُمْ نَفْسًا فَأَخَافُ أَن يَقْتُلُونَ He says, قَالَ رَبِّي إِنِّي He says, Ya Allah, my Lord. He takes Allah as his Lord. He says, Ya Allah, إِنِّي قَتَلْتُ مِنْهُمْ نَفْسًا He says, I killed one of their men. 10 years ago, I accidentally killed one of them. Because I can't go back there. Right? قَتَلْتُ مِنْهُمْ نَفْسًا فَأَخَافُ He goes, and I'm afraid. He goes, so I'm afraid, فَأَخَافُ أَن يَقْتُلُونَ That they're going to kill me. That I killed one of them accidentally years ago, and I'm afraid if I go back there, that they're going to all pile up and try to kill me. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he tells, and then he, again, another thing, actually, by the way, before he tells Allah responds to him, he says another thing. He says, وَأَخِي حَرُونُ He says, my brother Harun is more eloquent than I am. He's a better speaker than me. He goes, Harun is a better speaker than me. I can't go back there. I can't go back because I killed somebody and now they're going to try to kill me. And I'm also stuttering because I'm so nervous. This is another thing of Prophet Musa, by the way. And I mentioned this in our stories from our past series, is that an interesting factoid that people don't know about Prophet Musa is that the scholars, they actually said that Prophet Musa alayhi salam had a stuttering problem when he was nervous. He had a stuttering problem when he was nervous. That when he was scared or he was a little bit afraid, Prophet Musa alayhi salam used to stutter. He used to jumble his words a little bit. So he asks Allah, he says, Wa akhihi Harun huwa afsahu. Okay? Afsahu minni. He says, he's more eloquent than me. Afsahu minni. He goes, he's better at speaking than I am. He's smarter than me, Ya Allah. Tell him to go do it. Tell him to go do it. I fear that they may call me a liar, right? Inni akhafu an yukadhibun. Right? He goes, I'm afraid that if I talk, that they're going to call me a liar, Ya Allah. You know, Harun is better at speaking than me. Allah says, La idhab ila fir'auna innahu taqa. Musa, you are my prophet and I want you to go and talk to Fir'aun. Musa is scared. He's terrified. He's so afraid. And in Surah Al-Taha, Prophet Musa at this point makes a very special dua. And I'll say this dua in Arabic, and then I'll say it again in English for everyone to kind of understand and carry on or follow with the translation. Prophet Musa in this dua, he knew that he had to do something that Allah ordered him to do. And because of this, he knew that he had to build up some courage. He had to build up a little bit of bravery. He needed some sort of strength, some inner strength. You know, in sports terminology, a lot of people, they kind of like say this, dig deep, right? Dig deep and find it. It's in you. You just got to go and find it. Prophet Musa alayhi salam in Surah Al-Taha. In Surah Al-Taha, Prophet Musa alayhi salam, he says, قَالَ رَبِّ اشْرَحْ لِي صَدْرِي. He says, Ya Allah, lift up my heart. He goes, expand my chest. رَبِّ اشْرَحْ لِي صَدْرِي. And then he goes, وَيَسِّرْ لِي أَمْرِي. وَيَسِّرْ لِي أَمْرِي. And he says, and make my task, what you asked of me, يَسِّرْ لِي. Make it easy, Ya Allah. Don't make it difficult for me. Make it easy. You know, a lot of times in Islam, we have this misunderstanding that like we should go through that difficulty. Like we want to go through that difficulty. We want to go through the trials and tribulations. No, man, you don't want to go through difficulty. You want Allah to give you ease, right? You want Allah to give you ease. وَيَسِّرْ لِي أَمْرِي. You don't say the opposite, Ya Allah, make my task hard for me. You say, وَيَسِّرْ لِي أَمْرِي. Make whatever obstacle that stands in front of me, Ya Allah, make that obstacle easy for me. That exam that I'm about to take that will decide whether I get into this program or not, Allah wa yassir li amri. Make it easy for me. Make it something that I will meet with bravery and courage, and I will triumph over it. Wa yassir li amri. Make it easy for me, Ya Allah. Wahlul uqdatan min lisani. Wahlul uqdatan min lisani. It says, untie the knot that's in my tongue. And this proves that Prophet Musa had an issue with speaking when he was nervous. So he asks Allah, وَحْلُلْ عُقْدَةً مِنْ لِسَانِي. There's a knot on my tongue, Ya Allah. Sometimes you like we feel like it, by the way. When we're nervous, we're having a conversation with our parents that is going to decide our future, right? But like, yeah, you know, Ammu, Abu, Mama, Baba, I really like this person and I want to get married to them. You said what? Right? Like, wa milisani, right? Like Allah untie the knot in my tongue. Because whenever I go up to these scary moments, I get really tongue twisted. I get tongue tied. I get scared. So he says, Ya Allah, wahdul uqdatan min lisani. Okay? Wahlul uqdatan min lisani. And then he says, Yafqahu qawli. So that they may understand my words, Ya Allah. Right? Yafqahu qawli. And then Allah Ta'ala, he says, God said, we will strengthen you, Ya Musa. We will strengthen you with your brother. Okay? Allah says, I will strengthen you with your brother, bi akhika. Because I'm not going to leave you alone. Allah will never leave you alone. Your brother Harun will accompany you, but you got to do this thing, Ya Musa. You got to do this thing. You got to go up to Fir'aun and you got to tell him like it is. But I will allow you to bring your brother Harun with you. Okay, and we will give you both power. Okay, sultanan fala yasiruna. Okay, yasiruna ilaykuma. That we will give you guys, and we will give both of you powers. Okay, and we will give you strength so that they cannot touch you. We will give you strength and power so they cannot touch you. All right, and with our signs, ya ayatina. Okay, bi ayatina. Antuma waminat taba'akuma ghalibun. Okay, and with our signs, you and those who follow you will triumph. Ghalibun, you will be successful. You will win. Why? Because you have Allah on your side. This is the most beautiful thing right here. I'm going to highlight this for everybody as an end to today's session. Right here is going to be our takeaway. Allah says, "With our signs, bi ayatina." Antuma wa manittaba'akuma ghalibun. That with our signs, with our help, you will never lose, Ya Musa. Understand if you have Allah on your side, you will always win. Understand if the entire world stands on one side and Allah stands on the other side, you will win because of Allah. Understand that if you are facing the biggest obstacle, the biggest fear in your entire life, and that fear seems like the size of a mountain, and Allah is on the other side, you will triumph over it. Why? Because with the help of Allah, you can triumph over anything. With the help of God, you can triumph over anything. And inshallah, with that, we will pause here for today's session. I want you to keep this about 30 minutes. Alhamdulillah, we have been able to accomplish that. All right, guys? So lessons to take away from today are many. Allah Ta'ala will, you know, sometimes teach us in ways that are sometimes difficult. you know, the Prophet Musa alayhi salam meeting Allah was not easy. He fainted when he first saw Allah. He got scared. He got a little bit worried when he first saw Allah. And Allah says, La takhaf, don't worry, ya Musa. You are of those who are amineen, Allah says. You are those who are protected, those who are safe. Okay. Innani anallah, la ilaha illa ana fa'budni wa qim as-salata li dhikri. Pray so you can remember me. Never ever lose track of your prayers, because prayer is a way that you remember Allah. It's a way that you keep up with Allah. That's the way you keep a relationship with Allah. It's through your salah. Okay. And then Allah says, you have to attack your obstacles. The things that make you afraid, the things that challenge you, face them head on. But don't face them head on just like on a wing and a prayer. What you say is, Rabbi shrah li sadri, wa yassir li amri, wahlul uqdatan min lisani yafqahu qawli. Ask Allah for his help. Ask Allah to make your task easy. If you get nervous when you're approaching a task and your tongue gets twisted and tied, ask Allah to relieve that tongue twisting for you, right? Make it easy for people to understand your speech, all right? And then Allah says at the end, بِآيَاتِنَا أَنْتُمَا وَمَنِ اتَّبَعَكُمَا غَالِبُونَ. That when you have Allah on your side and those who follow you, you'll win everything. You'll triumph over everything. You don't got to worry about it. All right? So inshallah, those are our lessons for today. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to be people who are faithful in God. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to learn from His blessed book. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to be people who not only recite His book, but also implement it, learn from it, really apply it in our lives. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to draw close to Him through our courageous, you know, our bravery and our courage because of the gifts that He has given us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us all to be people of bravery and all to be people of courage, because we know as long as we're believers and we're faithful to Allah, Allah will always stand on our side in the face of any sort of challenge or adversity. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept. Amin ya rabbal alameen. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Wa nashadu an la ilaha illa ant. Nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Jazakumullah wa khairan, everybody. May Allah keep you guys all safe and your family safe and secure and healthy. And may Allah reward every single one of you guys. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.